And his face did shine like the sun, and his garments became white as snow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gospel we have in the Mass today, the gospel of the Transfiguration, seems a little out of place. Last week in the gospel, we were talking about suffering and penance, offering things up, temptation, Lent-type things, but the gospel today seems more suited for a season of rejoicing. But we should remember that Lent is not only a time of penance, but a time of grace. More importantly, it is a time of increasing in grace. The purpose of Lent is to fill us with grace and transfigure us for the celebration of the Easter mystery. Hence, the Gospels for the first 2 weeks of Lent form, as it were, the boundaries of the Lenten season. On the first Sunday, we were following Christ through the battle of this life with its temptations, learning how to overcome the devil by fasting and prayer. That was the Gospel of last Sunday, our Lord being tempted in the desert. Now we are shown what we are fighting for, so that we don't get discouraged. But what are we fighting for? Well, we are fighting for heaven. Our suffering isn't to no purpose. It is to help us attain that glory that the apostles saw in our Lord when he was transfigured. The scene in the Gospel of the Transfiguration is an interesting one. It comes towards the end of Christ's years of public preaching, when he is preparing for his last trip to Jerusalem. As was his custom, toward evening, when his work for the day was done, he went up into a mountain to pray. But this time he took with him three of the apostles, namely Peter, James, and John. And as seemed to be their custom, they found a comfortable place to take a nap while our Lord prayed. In a few weeks' time in the garden at Gethsemane, they would again be sleeping while our Lord was praying, and would then be woken up by him. But this time they were aroused from sleep by a blinding light. Our Lord, before his transfiguration, he poured out his soul in communion with his heavenly Father, offering to him with a joyful heart his approaching suffering, and commending to him all those who will share in the redemption. And as he engages in fervent prayer, the splendor of his divinity breaks through the cloak of his humanity, and his countenance begins to shine like the sun. The apostles, now fully awake, see two people standing next to our Lord, namely Moses and Elias. They are talking to him about his approaching suffering and death. Peter then, full of zeal, cries out, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." What did he see that made him say that? He saw God. We see God, too, at every Mass. The apostles were used to seeing our Lord in his human nature. We are used to seeing him under the appearances of bread and wine. But with the eyes of faith, we must recognize him as the transfigured Lord when, in the Eucharist, he offers up his body and blood to his Father. The Gospel shows us something more, though. We see a circle of men around our Lord: Moses, Elias, Peter, James, and John. These represent the Old and New Testaments and shows that Christ came to lead all men to salvation. He wills not to only to free men from sin, but to have them participate in his eternal splendor. Through grace here on earth and through glory in the next life. But what is grace? It is not merely a benign recognition of men by God. It is an elevation, a transfiguration of the soul. The soul is changed so that it may be able to partake in the joys of God. And I always kind of had a hard time understanding grace, especially sanctifying grace, which you receive in baptism for the first time. You find all of these analogies, like, just as the sun shines down on the world, not only to give warmth and light, but also to transform the earth from the barrenness of winter into a paradise of precious flowers and fruits, so does the grace of God stream down on men and transform their souls. Well, that sounds very nice. There are flowers in paradise and all that, but it didn't really tell us why we need this transformation. There is one analogy that does help to understand what grace does for us and why it is so necessary for salvation. If you have a dog and you put him in front of the television set, he might look at the shapes and listen to the sounds. He might even get all worked up if he sees another dog on the screen, but he won't enjoy the show the way a human would. He doesn't have a brain that is able to do this. You would have to infuse a human intelligence into the dog or some way make him like a human. In the same way, a human cannot participate in the joys of God unless he is somehow raised to God's level. The joys of God are above our ability to appreciate. We are humans and God is God. If we went to heaven without sanctifying grace, we would be like the dog sitting in front of the TV screen, not getting anything out of it. On a side note, this is the reason that babies who die without baptism do not go to heaven, but go to limbo, a place of natural happiness, because without sanctifying grace, they do not have the ability to enjoy heaven. God, in his goodness, has desired to bring us to his level of joy. He didn't have to do this. It wouldn't be contrary to his goodness, justice, or mercy to have us go to a place of natural happiness like limbo after we die. But he wishes to change our souls by grace, to elevate them in such a way so that we are able to enjoy things in the manner that he does. And if we were able to see a soul in the state of grace, it would look like our Lord during his transfiguration. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the whole world and everything it contains is of far less value before God than the grace in a single soul. This transformation of the soul, though, is a continual progress and only becomes perfect in the life of heaven. A Christian's vocation in this life is to be, for example, a parent, a teacher, a student, but his real vocation is to grow in maturity in the life of grace, to increase this life of grace. Back to that analogy of the dog, the better human brain you infuse into the dog, the more it will understand the movie. So the more grace you have, the higher place you will have in heaven. That person who barely makes it to heaven will be happy and far happier than we are able to comprehend, but he will be much happier who enters heaven with a large amount of grace. This is why our Lord tells us to be perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect. He doesn't ever want us to stop growing in grace. It is something we work on for our whole life. But we should always have that image of our transfigured Lord in front of us, reminding us of our goal, so that even in our trials, we will be able to say with St. Peter, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.